Yet we cannot love someone whom we do not know. The propositions of the Creed help us along the way of knowledge, which is our way to love. The word creed comes from the Latin word credo, literally translated, I believe. That is the phrase with which Christians have usually begun their professions of faith. As we'll see, there is strong evidence that such summary acts of faith have been integral to Christianity from the very start. Credo, or its Aramaic equivalent, is the word cried out by the desperate father who begs Jesus for the healing of his child. I believe, help thou my unbelief. Mark 9:24. It is the word of the man blind from birth whom Jesus healed. It is the word that serves as a prelude to true worship. John 9:38. Credo is also the cry of grieving Martha. It is the word Jesus deliberately draws from her before he raises her brother Lazarus. John 11:27. St. Paul seems to allude to creedal statements when he says, quote, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and so is saved. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. In the ordinary course of love, we believe with our heart and confess with our lips. If we live with integrity, there is a unity of our thoughts, words, and deeds, our hearts and hands and voices. We say what we mean and we do as we say. We walk the talk. That doesn't mean, however, that our recitation of the creed presumes a mastery of material. As Rich Mullins put it, the creed is making us. That making is an ongoing process. Think again about that desperate father in the gospel. He shouted out to Jesus, I believe, but then he quickly added, help my unbelief. Mark 9:24. A creed marks the way of conversion for a pilgrim church on earth and for each of its members. Thus, creeds have always been an important part of the rite of baptism. This was one way the early church made sure to fulfill Jesus' command, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19. Some of the most ancient creeds we know are simple statements professing belief in each of the persons of the Blessed Trinity. If they elaborate at all, they add statements affirming that Jesus is both God and man, that he founded a church, and that the dead will be raised. In the church's beginning, there were no Bibles, no missals, no hymnals. The apostles would summarize the saving events of Jesus' life, often in short, skeletal sermons, summaries of the gospel that came to be known as the rule of faith. In chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles, we see this process at work. Peter preached a summary of Christ's life and mission. See especially chapter 2, verses 29 to 36. The people experienced a change of heart, verse 37, and received his word and were baptized in verse 41, and then went on to receive the Eucharist in verse 42. The creed was their gateway to the graced transformation made possible by the sacraments of initiation. We find this pattern repeated frequently in the New Testament and afterward in the works of the early church fathers. The rule of faith took many forms, but it always proclaimed certain mysteries. God is one. God became man in Jesus Christ. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is glorified and will come again. Over time, these proclamations became more detailed and more standardized. They were universally recognized marks of faith. In the East, they were known as measuring sticks. From early on, there were two general types of creeds, the question and answer kind and the declaration kind. We still know both forms today. The church uses the Q&A form in baptisms and at the Easter Vigil. It expresses the movement of conversion in dramatic terms as it moves from a rejection of sin and evil, do you reject Satan? I do. To an affirmation of the true God. Do you believe in God the Father, Almighty? I do. Each I do resounds with power and glory and strength of commitment, reminding us of marriage vows and solemn oaths sworn in courtrooms. Like marriage, the creed indeed changes us. It marks a key moment in the story of our ongoing conversion. It is making us. The Declaration Creed is even more familiar to us. We recite